Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. It's getting a little chilly out, and it's kind of like a fireplace weather. I love it. Anyways, I'm so glad that you are here. And of course, you know, I just want to say continue to help our community in such a tough time again. And so there's so many ways to do it. If you have anything that is extra, there's the food shelters, there's the food places to help out there. There's so many ways. So please do your part. With that, I also want to say that we have tickets to the Great Junk Hunt, and that's happening December 6th and December 7th. And, of course, we would love to give some away. And so our phone number here is 805-419-0008. Also, I want to thank everybody that joined me at our last mixer, our business mixer. And it was amazing. And again, thank you so much to Palm Garden Hotel for being one of our sponsors. Also, our next one is December 11th. At the same place. So I'd love you to be a part of it. All you have to do is text us at 805-419-0008 and just put mixer, and one of our team members will get back with you. I am really excited to bring our first guest on, and she's just amazing. And of course, she's been a registered nurse with 34 years of experience. And of course, her book is Decide Your Simple System for Getting It Right the First Time. Let's welcome Marissa.
And I am so grateful that you have tuned in here. I know you have lots of choices, and I'm so glad that you are here. Today, we're going to be talking with Marissa Johansson, and of course, her newest book, Decide Your Simple System for Getting It Right the First Time. We're going to hear a little bit about that. I don't know about all of you out there that are listening right now. Sometimes you get these really things come on your plate and you don't always know which way to go. And of course, Marissa here has actually been down that path, and she wrote this incredible book that we are going to bring her on and find out a little bit more about her and, of course, how to get this book. And how to make incredible decisions. But not only that, why she wrote it. So again, Marissa, welcome. And thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's really a delight to be here.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about your journey. And of course, congratulations on your first book. I mean,
thank you.
Can't wait to get everybody get this in their hands, right?
Yeah. Well, my journey to writing this book came after my experience of kind of really just examining decisions as they were made by me and for me. So a lot of decisions were made for me. And I think most people don't spend a lot of time kind of considering that, but I do because I came from a slightly different background. I am adopted. I was adopted as an infant. So there was much decision-making that went on in the background that really had a profound impact in my life. And so I have been sort of interested over the scope of my life, over the quality of decisions. And I didn't really learn about quality in decision-making as much until I became a nurse. And when I became a nurse and we started examining decision-making as a process that has a method, it has something that you should apply consistently in order to increase the results more consistently, then it took on a new thing. And I have seen myself so many times firsthand the immediate aftermath and the results of terrible decision making, both in cases of trauma and in cases of chronic disease.
Okay, so let's back up for a second. First of all, I love this, okay, because I remember, I used to have this thing like second guessing yourself, right? And always going, gosh, should I have done that or should I have done, And then I realized if I don't make a decision, somebody else or something else is going to make that decision. So I totally understand and I totally agree with you as far as if you don't have the capability of making a decision and you do nothing, it will happen whichever way it's going to happen.
Right. And not making a decision is actually a decision.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you just sit there going, well, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Well, life has a way of taking care of that, and you might not be terribly satisfied with the outcome.
Like,
So why
look.
not give yourself some tools to improve those outcomes and get to where you are wanting to go, get to the benefits, not only for yourself, but for other people. So you kind of need to pay attention to, like, okay, what am I doing here and why? That's one bigger thing. But how is another big thing. And I've checked with, like I checked in with my niece, for example, and I asked her to give a little read to some of what I was doing and give me your opinion. What do you think? And she goes, this is really good. And I was like, well, thank you. I mean, I felt like that was such high praise coming from a teenager, right? Because
Right.
that's kind of hard. That's a hard market to get praise from.
Well,
And
you can't
yeah.
even have them lift their head from their computer or their writing.
Exactly, or from the phone or
Oh, yeah.
whatever. So I was like, oh, this is great. And then I asked her point blank, are you being taught in school how to make decisions? I think that you get taught a lot about what to decide, right? And she goes, oh, yeah. I said, well, are you getting taught how, a reasoning process, anything like that? No, we never talk about that. And I was like, oh, my. And so then I said, well, if you had to decide what arena in your education experience would be the proper one to hear about this, what would it be? And she said, well, probably like an assembly. I said, what about homeroom? And she goes, oh, that's the right place. It's homeroom. Because then I said, you could make a series of classes about it, right? And she's like, yeah,
Yeah, I
yeah.
love that. When we read your book, decide, what are we going to find in there?
Well, you're going to find in there a deep dive discussion on the scoring tool that I have worked out. So basically, if people are worried that I just chose things out of midair, I didn't. I actually sat down and thought about what I know. What do you know, Marissa?
This is from being a nurse for over 30 years, correct?
Yes.
So when people are in the hospital and they have to make these tough decisions, is this kind of where it formulated it? Because is there a way that the hospitals help you to make decisions?
What would be fantastic is if hospitals could put together like a little flashcard that gives people an idea of, okay, here's the process that your healthcare team is going through. Here's how you can engage with it. I don't know of that being out there. Maybe it is somewhere. I think it is in certain forms here and there. And probably also I would go to say that things are offered to patients according to disease process. Now, some decisions you have a little time to make, and then other decisions have to be rapid and immediate. And those are the tougher ones, right? Because unless you have background for it, you're not going to always really know. And I have been the nurse standing there with a weeping wife who didn't know how to advise us regarding decisions for her husband, who was unable to speak because he was on a ventilator, tears rolling down her face. She's not ready to let go of him, but yet she hates to see what amounts to probably some pretty uncomfortable things going on.
And does it relate to everything in life, though?
It does. It's not industry specific. What we use in medicine and nursing is very specific to the healthcare industry. But what I did is I took the word decide, DECIDE, and used that as the mnemonic for each step. And then the book is a deep dive on each step. Each chapter represents a step.
Let's do three of them just for to get people
Sure.
know a little bit more.
Sure. The D step is where you are gathering information, and it aligns with the assessment step in medicine and nursing. So D is for diligent gathering of information. So you're going to be diligent about it because I want people to remember to get quality information. I can never make a good decision for patients based on poor quality information. I want people to take that into account themselves when they're going to decide something. So what do I mean by that? I mean, get information that is subjective and objective both. You need both. One is going to be more emotional in nature, and that will be the subjective pieces. And the other is going to be more data and fact driven, and that'll be your objective pieces. And you need to have both. And the reason I say that is because a lot of people think, well, but I don't feel this way or that way. You might not.
Not right now, right?
You might not, right? Exactly. Not right now. However, there's a place for your emotions, and it's in that subjective piece. Okay. I'm not ignoring them. I'm just asking you to keep them in their proper place. Emotionally driven decisions are typically not high quality.
Correct.
Right. So, and which is how I got here. So, I say have both, and that's the D step to get your assessment. You've got to have an accurate assessment.
All your information so that you have a really clear vision on
yes.
what you're doing. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Have a very clear evaluation of all of the facts, all the information, and your feelings.
Okay.
And get them all right up front there to where you can see them and start weighing things.
Okay.
And then E would be the evaluation of all of this. So that correlates in medicine and healthcare with the diagnosis phase. So in order, again, to get a good, accurate diagnosis, you've got to review your information. So E is your evaluating. What does all of this mean? What does this mean to me? What is it going to mean to my situation, to my business partner, to my family member, to my friend, to my community, and so on?
Right.
So you have to evaluate and get a proper diagnosis or assessment needs to tell you what's going on, right?
Wow.
So, yeah.
This should be a book that one, I mean, especially because you're in the industry, that everybody could get when they got into the hospital. I mean, to me, or even in marriage, visions for children.
As a graduate, where am I going to move to? Where I want to apply for jobs at? Who do I want to work with or for?
Yeah.
Or maybe do I want to work for myself and start my own thing? I mean, you know, there's.
Well, you can apply to anything and everyone. What about C?
C would be our consideration of the plans. So now you're going to consider, okay, I know this stuff about it. Here's my assessment. Here's my information. This is what I believe it means. And now what am I going to do about it? That's the consideration of plans. And I made that plural on purpose because rarely is there a single method for intervention, right? Rarely. Oftentimes when we go to do something, we can choose plan A, plan B, plan C. You know, you can choose a multitude of plans.
Right.
Sometimes you can choose to, okay, I could do this, but what if I did this and I did a little of that? What if I did this and it, and what if it works? Like, that's the biggest question.
So when somebody purchases this book, do you walk them through the steps? What else comes with this book?
So the book walks through the steps and it uses some real examples. And one of the biggest real examples is taken from my own personal experience of being adopted. I was born to a 16-year-old girl. And I just want to say to all the teenagers out there, I know that emotions can run strong and you can feel very swept away by them. And please do not allow yourself to be. One of the two of you is going to have to be the strong one. And hopefully both of you are together to stop yourselves, because getting pregnant at the age of 16 is really a disadvantage for you personally, other partner, and certainly for the baby. And it can make something that's wonderful be really a lot less wonderful. In my case, she did the right thing. The next best right step was to make the decision to put me up for adoption, and it didn't come easily. I want people to know that even if you've made a decision that wasn't great, and so now you're dealing with an outcome that wasn't great, do not let yourself be disabled by that.
Wow.
You do not have to be disabled by that. You can still make a good decision. A follow-up decision can be made that has an outstanding result. And that was the case for me. I was put in a family who gave me a good education, lots of love. I didn't have a perfect existence, but no family is, whether it's an adopted family or a biologic family, because we're all human. We're all perfectly imperfect. You know, she just really slowed her head down and was like, right, I've got to make a good choice here. And I have to do it by myself, because she was promptly kicked out of her home for being so shameful as to be pregnant. She did slow herself down and made the right choice. And then she had to wait. That's the other piece of this that I would like people to know is sometimes you have to wait for a result, and sometimes a long time. She waited for 29 years until I found her to know whether or not she had made the right decision.
And does she feel like she made the right decision at this point?
She does.
Really?
You know, what's interesting, you know, like you had said in the very beginning, I lost a baby. You know, you don't get that decision, but if the decision's made for you, there is a point where you have to kind of like just sit with life, right? And that's kind of where you were. You didn't get the decision. She made the decision for you. So you have to sit with life. And I love your book, Decide. Are you going to decide? I mean, it could be a twist off on so many levels. Decide that I'm still going to have a great life.
Mm-hmm.
When I have to make a decision, it takes you through those steps, but there's so many levels of deciding.
For myself, you know, people are like, oh man, you have to make such big decisions. Sometimes I do in my job. And one of the things I do when the pressure is really on, and I know that there's going to be some serious badness in the next few seconds, if I don't do something, I have to get my head to calm down so I can make that decision. And
right.
We have that same thing going on with soldiers, with, you know, doctors and nurses, obviously, firefighters, police officers. There's a whole bunch of us in life that have to do that. And you have to do little tricks. And so one of them is to choose to do the trick.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So for me, the trick is to repeat to myself, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Because here's the actual fact. The neuron connections in your brain can fire more quickly than the time on your clock.
Wow, that's interesting.
Right? So you can get your brain to squeeze out the right decision faster than the amount of time you have in front of you. And people get a little bit all up here, like,
right.
No, okay.
Calm your mind down.
Smooth.
And do you ever do like a pro and con list? Because that's something that I tend to do. You know, I kind of, my dad used to tell me, it's just like, write all the pros, write all the cons, and then calmly make your decision, you know? And
right. That's a risk stratification tool, right? You're stratifying everything. And I, in my book, the list that I go through, the Decide mnemonic, I've developed a kind of risk stratification tool that people can sort of use on themselves and weigh out like, okay, how good of a decision maker am I? Am I kind of weak? Do I have areas that I'm really good at? And then other areas I'm kind of not so good. Like it helps you to sort of know like, okay, where do I need a little shoring up? Mm-hmm. And then the book will help you to think about those things. I don't have every solution known to mankind in that book.
No,
it's not possible.
You have the way to make it happen.
But I have a method. It's a method. It's been proven successful over decades and decades in healthcare and in medicine. And when it's not interfered with, it really works very, very well. And, you know, there are some bad actors that can interfere with decision making all the time out there, you know, like,
right.
And I mean, just normal stuff, not even anything big, but like inadequate rest.
Right.
Being dehydrated,
yeah.
Not enough nutrition, medications that you might have on board. You know, those kind of things can interfere, but also other things can too, you know, like noise from the outside. Do you have somebody telling you what you should or shouldn't do?
Right.
Take into account what they have to say, but You reserve the right to be the one that makes the final choice.
Right. Because the pressure. I mean, you know,
yes, there's a lot.
No, you know, I mean, you know, you like the pressure of making it the right answer. So I love that. Alyssa, first of all, thank you so much for writing this book. I think it will help so many people.
I sincerely hope so.
Yeah. And I know that that's really your goal for your book, and to share the lessons that you've learned through your passage and your journey. And of course, for our listeners, anybody that's just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way, Marissa's book is Decide Your Simple System for Getting It Right the First Time. And so that you don't have to doubt yourself. You've gone through a method of, you know, really looking at it and making a wise decision. So I love that. How do our listeners find you, find your book, and be able to make some great decisions?
So the book is available right now on Amazon. It just released in the ebook form. The print version will be dropping, let's see, where are we on this? It will be dropping next week. We're going to be uploading it here, like, I think today or tomorrow. So if people want, I'm the kind of reader that I like to read with a highlighter, and I understand that. And so I believe that's going to be out and available real soon, if not already. And then we're going to do an official launch for it next week. And then I can be found on by email, wiselife@wiselifestrategies.com. That's the company name I decided to use to release products as I develop them and that come my way that I want to share that I think are wonderful. I've already done that a little bit. I have a contributor to the book, and I think she does some wonderful work, Dr. Andrea Witz. And so I want to be able to release things there for not only myself, but others. And so wiselifestrategies.com, that is my website. And we are in the process of getting that built and launched as well. So everything is very much in a growth phase right now.
I love it. So if you could leave us with one, I say our show is all about the brighter side of life and business. What would you leave us with?
I want people to know that they can make a good decision. Don't get anxious and scared that you can't. You absolutely can. Remember that slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Wow. And where did you get that saying from?
That came to me from the military, actually. We borrowed it in air medical industry, and I've heard it a few times, and I've used it on myself many times to get my head to slow down and focus.
There you go. When you have an emergency going on and you have to
make sure. When the pressure is on.
Yeah, I love it. And I know we didn't really share what kind of nurse you are. It's so interesting for me. Can you share that really quick?
Sure. I am a nurse aboard a helicopter. I've been doing air medical nursing now for quite a long time, probably about 11 going on 12 years probably. And I really love it. I can't do it full time anymore, because I will say it is a younger person's game. There's a lot of lost sleep sometimes. So I am doing it part-time, but I still really love it. I love the people in the industries. They are some of the sharpest minds I know of.
Wow. And I'm sure you've done an incredible job. So what a great, I call it a breakthrough to your next, writing this book. And so, as I'm a business coach, I always think of like, what is your next? This is your next. And so again, for our listeners who are going to be texting me any second now, to get their copy, it's Decide Your Simple System for Getting It Right the First Time. Marissa Johansson, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please share our show with everyone, and also download our podcast.
Yes, thank you. I actually did.
Oh, you did already. There you go. All right. Well, you will be in there after it airs here. So thank you so much. I can't wait to have you back again and continue your success.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Thank
I enjoyed being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marissa. This is going to help so many people, and I know that I can't wait to read it myself. So again, for our listeners out there, grab your book of Decide, and it's your simple system for getting it right the first time. All right, we're going to take a really quick break and we'll be right back.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Kim Pagano invites you to discover the Palm Garden Hotel, where elegance meets comfort in Thousand Oaks. After a stunning $5 million renovation, the hotel boasts a fresh and vibrant look, just under an hour from Malibu's iconic shores. Whether you're visiting for business or leisure, we offer a full array of modern amenities, surrounded by lush gardens and a serene courtyard. Our expansive 14,000 square feet of flexible event space is perfect for any occasion, from intimate gatherings to large conferences. Let our expert team bring your vision to life. We're thrilled to introduce Selvin's Restaurant Plus Lounge, ideal for your next dinner, event, or weekend escape. Enjoy complimentary perks like Wi-Fi, parking, and one of the best hot breakfasts in Thousand Oaks. Stay active in our fitness center, equipped with modern training equipment. Book your next stay with us at palmgardenhotel.com or call 805-716-4200 for reservations. We look forward to welcoming you.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to TNTAMS.com.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back.
I am so excited. We've been talking probably for over an hour already. I've got Nurse Mary Jo Last here. Her business is Access TLC. For how many years?
30.
Yeah, 30 years. This lady is just so knowledgeable. I can't wait to really just share more about kind of what we've been talking about. Nurse Mary Jo Last, welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kim. So today I just, talking about our wealth and our health and how to be healthy and
talking about the election and trying to make sure that we are staying a healthy nation so that we can help others. That's the whole point. I did want to talk a little bit about insulin resistance, again, only because people keep hearing it and telling me, I've heard about that. And that's like, oh, too much sugar in your blood. And, you know, I don't have that. My numbers are good. And it's like, well, how do you know you have that? And how do you know to read your numbers? So I wanted to just pull up some outward signs that can tell you, hey, you're insulin resistant. These are the signs that are very obvious that we see. So the number
is so important. And just to share with our listeners out there, Mary actually just went through all of my numbers, right? I was like, oh gosh, okay. And you know, what's really sad is I'm sure you're going to be like me. Do you even know what your numbers mean? You know, we just trust our doctors to say, oh good, everything's okay. Or no, we're going to have to add, you know, a little bit more medicine or something different. So this is really, really important. So thank you for sharing that with me, first of all.
Of course, of course. And I, you know, I'm happy to help anyone who's interested in understanding their lab numbers. They're very important. And they're very important to understand so that when you keep getting them, you know, oh, is it going up? Is it going down? What are the matrix? So these are the matrix that they give you when you go to the doctor's office for cholesterol, for example. They want you to stay under 200.
Right.
And then if you're over 200, they're going to put you on a statin. That's the matrix that they see. If they see that your A1C, your hemoglobin A1C is over 6 points now, they're going to put you on metformin or another diabetic medication, because now you're considered pre-diabetic or diabetic if it's over 6 points. The other matrix that we can tell if you have insulin resistance is knowing what your triglycerides and your HDL numbers are. If you divide those, it'll tell you if you're under two, you're okay. You're not insulin resistant. But a lot of people don't even know how to look at that, how to get to that. But there are many ways that we can help you to find out if you're insulin resistant. Going back to the obvious signs of insulin resistance, what I always say is if your belly is big, if you have, for women, a circumference of your belly more than 35, you're insulin resistant. For men, it's 45, they're insulin resistant. So that I can just tell just by looking at people, if they have that big extended belly, that they are suffering from insulin resistance. That's one sign. The other sign is the skin. If you have psoriasis, eczema, skin tags, the skin is one of the telltale signs that are telling us, hey, your body cannot handle the amount of glucose that's in the blood and it's sending it out to the skin, which is outside of the liver, the other filter of our body, the biggest organ that we have. The other signs are mental fog, fatigue, hunger after eating. These are telltale signs that without any labs, without any information from your doctor, you can tell. I want to encourage people to get their HA1C done every time you go to the doctor, because that for sure will say if you're pre-diabetic or diabetic right there and then. Now, I also want to advise all your listeners that if the doctor says, well, you're pre-diabetic or diabetic, we got to put you on medication right now, is ask the doctor, can I at least give me 3 months before you put me on medication and see if I can try naturally to get rid of these symptoms on my own? So I'm going to give you some tips.
Okay. I was just going to ask you, so what can we do? And I just want to remind anybody that's just waking up with us, starting your day. We're talking with Nurse Mary Jo Less. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kim. So the easy tips that I can, well, they're not easy, because if they were easy, everybody would do them. But you always hear your physician say you have to exercise and diet well. Well, the diet is really 80% of the work. So if you know, oh my gosh, if diet is more important than exercise, and I really don't feel like exercising, and I barely feel like dieting, because that's why I'm in trouble, just think of natural foods. Think, if this didn't come from the ground or a tree or from the farm, maybe I'm not going to eat it. If it's in a can or in a box or in a bag, just skip it, skip it, skip the snacking, you know. So one of the ways to reverse that is natural eating, eating all natural foods. So for breakfast, you're not going to have a muffin, that's processed. You're not going to have cereal, that's processed. You're going to have an egg or avocado. You're going to have things that are natural. And for lunch, again, proteins and vegetables, same thing for dinner. The other natural remedy is doing intermittent fasting. Now that, I have to say, is very difficult for a lot of people. But I have a supplement for that. We have this yerba mate tea that works like a GLP-1. It increases the hormones in your intestine to help you, to motivate you, to give you energy. It's like an energy drink in a bottle. It's in a powder that you put in water. And it really helps with hunger. It helps to make you not hungry. So if you know, oh my gosh, I know I have to get my numbers down. I know I have to try to do better, but I don't have that kind of will to skip breakfast or to push the plate. Then you want to definitely go on my website, nursemaryjo.com, and order the tea and fiber. The fiber is another supplement that will help lower your blood sugars and lower your cholesterol. Everybody knows, because they have been talking about fiber forever. There's no fiber in our foods. Anything white has no fiber in it. And we tend to juice everything. We tend to go, okay, I'm going to have my fruit and vegetables, but I'm going to blend it. Well, when you blend it, you get rid of the fiber. And that doesn't help you. You need the fiber to mitigate the sugar. So I always tell people, don't have the smoothies. Don't have the juice. Have water, club soda water, have tea and coffee if you like that black. And if not, have this yerba mate tea that's amazing. It tastes delicious. And then have your fiber before lunch or dinner. And that will really help you bring down your sugar and your cholesterol. The last tip, there's three, is resistance training. So again, you don't have to go to the gym and do cardio for an hour. That is not helpful. That probably will increase your cortisol, which that's the fat storing hormone, just like insulin is. They follow each other. They're little buddies. So you don't want that. You don't want stress in your life. Stress increases your cortisol, which also increases your insulin, because then insulin goes, oh, you increased your cortisol. That means the brain is releasing, or the liver is releasing glucagon, which is sugar, because we're in trouble. You're stressing about something. Something is wrong. So let me increase the sugar that I've stored in your liver all this time. We have 1,600 calories of sugar in our liver that can be released at any time. If you're suffering from stress, it's probably getting released. That also can increase your fat cells because cortisol goes up and stores it. Anyhow, insulin resistance is very important to understand, how to figure out if you have it, and then how to resolve it. So doing weight training just in your house, or resistant band training, just by doing your sit-ups and your lunges, it will help you build muscle. When you have muscle, insulin goes down because muscle will absorb it for energy, even past beyond the exercise time. So carrying muscle is very important as we age. We lose it and we need to keep it. And the only way to keep it is by doing this walking and insulin resistance training that really does help. It's very low key. It's not stressful. It's really fun. If you're watching a show you like, pick up some weights, do some lunges.
Yeah, there you go. I love it.
Super easy. Super easy.
Wow. Really good tips, Mary Jo. So let's talk about food. And, you know, a lot of people, like you said, I was drinking a protein shake and you're like, no. I mean, we're told different things that we don't know about. That's going to be my first question. And then I want to talk about hormones.
Yes. Perfect. So, the good and bad about protein shakes is if you truly had a protein shake, it should be water and the protein powder, but nobody drinks it that way. And keep in mind, the protein powder has some processed foods in it as well. So it really isn't 100% natural protein. I would much rather you have a piece of meat or a piece of fish or any other way of protein, some eggs. I keep boiled eggs in my fridge all the time Because sometimes I am having a more difficult day, or I didn't have a very heavy dinner. So I do feel hungrier a little earlier in the day. I usually wait to eat till noon or 1 o'clock, but sometimes I can't wait and I'll have a boiled egg with a little bit of salt. It's amazing.
Now, do you ever put mayonnaise on it?
I love mayonnaise. I gotta tell
you. I love mayonnaise too.
I love it. So, and mayonnaise actually is really good when it's made with olive oil and, you know, the little bit of lemon. I have been known to make my own mayonnaise because I do like salad dressings. Right. I put a lot of olive oil or avocado oil on my food. I put it on my salads. I put it on my vegetables. I just put it on everywhere. So I tend to make it and, you know, put a little bit of salt and lemon, and it's delicious. Okay. So I highly recommend that you do your own mayonnaise, your own, you know, salad dressings, or if you buy it, make sure you look at the label, because there are some mayonnaises that they add vegetable oils to, and you don't want.
Talk to us about the oil, because I think that's what you said.
That is so
avocado oil, olive oil,
and coconut oil.
And coconut oil.
So those three fruit oils are the best ones you want to stick with for all your cooking, any cooking, or to eat raw. If you are feeling a little bit low on energy, or if you're feeling like you're still hungry after a meal, you can have a tablespoon of olive oil or avocado oil. It's so good for your skin, for your hair, for your nails, and for your hormones. Let's go into that hormone.
What about grapeseed oil?
Nope.
Bad. Nope.
That's the seed. And seeds have lectin. Lectins cause inflammation. So we want to try to continue to stay with non-inflammatory foods.
Good point. Okay, good.
And so the non-inflammatory foods are obviously the foods that are nature made, but then also stay away from foods that have a lot of seeds in them, because seeds, the reason seeds were made, the lectin protein that's natural in the seed is to protect it from insects, so that the insects die trying to kill the seed. That way the seed falls and replants itself in the earth and becomes another tree or plant or whatever. But if you have these lectins, if you have too many of them, we are poisoning ourselves. And it doesn't poison us that it kills us. It just causes inflammation in our gut.
So everything we do, I mean, that's our body fighting off inflammation, isn't it?
Yes.
So if you constantly have rashes on your skin, if you have soreness in your muscles,
joints,
right? This is all inflammation. That means something isn't going right in your body.
Correct. 100%. I'm 59 years old. I play tennis. I ski. I've been skiing since I was, 10 years old. So the thing about inflammation, I have no knee problems, no hip problems, no elbow problems. People talk about their shoulders and their this. And I was a swimmer for years. I think that the part that we need to talk about is, yes, people end up with a lot of rheumatoid arthritis, or they call lupus inflammation of the body. They call all these, they have all these different diseases for inflammation. And as you'll notice, they really don't have any solutions for it. They really don't have any medications for it. Just like they don't have medications for fatty liver. Because once your liver is fatty, your filter is full of fat and it's not going to filter. So the kidneys.
How does that happen?
Too much sugar in the blood, too much sugar converts into fat. The mechanism of your body is to protect the cell so it becomes resistant, so it doesn't die. But the mechanism then is it going to the liver. When it hits the liver doesn't know what to do, so it tries to store it. And then if it can't, it'll give it to the kidneys. The kidneys know they can't store it, so they try to get rid of it. When they can't get rid of it, you're going to have kidney problems. That's where diabetes comes in. You have kidney failure and you go into dialysis. We want to avoid all of those things. We want to be preventive in our care. And the root cause of all of these diseases that we call diseases, that's really metabolic syndrome, like diabetes, hypertension, cancer, PCOS, erectile dysfunction. I can go on and on. Inflammation, cancer. These are all metabolic syndrome issues, and they all come from insulin resistance. Insulin is a very important hormone that nobody paid attention to for years. It's come up and we've realized, oh my God, it's the root cause of all these problems. And you know why? Because insulin is the only hormone that goes into every single cell of your body. Wow. Because its main function is to bring sugar, which is energy, to the cell. But you can get energy from fat. You can get it from fat. You don't need sugar. You don't have to have it. What you do need is energy from fat. That's why we are saying this whole thing that came up with the heart disease and stay away from fats, we were going in way the wrong direction. We were becoming hormonally unstable. We were getting more heart disease, even though they were telling us, oh, you can't have any fat. It's like, no, that was the wrong message. The message should have all the time been sugars and carbohydrates. And this is the thing, people think they know what sugar is. They're like, oh yeah, no candies, no cake, no dessert, no muffins. But they forget that there's things like corn tortillas, corn chips, regular potato chips, that all turns into sugar in the blood. You can see on the label. I had a diabetic patient tell me, but Mary Jo, look at these chips. It says zero sugars on the label. I'm like, I know, honey, but these chips turn into sugar in your blood. That is the part of education I'm very passionate about, to try to teach everyone so they do understand what foods. Bread turns into sugar in our blood, but it doesn't taste sweet. Depending, I mean, you can get the sweet bread, but most breads don't taste sweet.
Do you ever eat bread?
Nope. No. I do not eat bread. And I know a lot of people go, oh, but bread can be so good for us. But there's so many other foods that have those B vitamins that we need that you don't have to get it from bread. We can get it from so many other sources of fiber that don't have to be the bread or the oats or the grains. The grains, again, are seeds. Seeds have lectin. Lectin causes inflammation. Here you go, where we're trying to avoid inflammation to be healthy. And we need that fat for the hormones to function correctly, for our brains to function correctly. Right. Our brain only wants ketones. It only wants fat. When we feed our brain sugar, it turns into dopamine in the brain, and it makes us high immediately. We're like, la, 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 and then you have the drop. And then you're like, why am I so tired? Oh, because I had, you know,
that's it,
a ton of sugar. By eating rice, by eating bread, pasta, all of those things that we are learning that we shouldn't have on a daily. Or if we have, it should be in very small amounts. Our body only needs, if you insist on giving it, 1 tablespoon of sugar to function optimally. 1 tablespoon. That's
so
one
we cube. Actually do need it?
No, you and believe me, our bodies will have it. We get sugar from vegetables.
Okay,
that's why the carnivore diet, in my view, is not optimal, because carnivore is pure protein and fat, which are very good for you, but there's no fiber, and there's just no vegetables. And I really feel there's a lot of vitamins and minerals in many of the vegetables that we need to eat that makes us healthy, that gives you that variety. And a lot of people say, well, the vegetables, the cow eats the vegetables. Why am I worried about that? It's in the meat. Well, then what? You have to make sure, well, what kind of organic meat? And was it wild? Did I have enough turkey or bison or elk or venison? That truly, those animals are truly wild and are eating, you know, different types of vegetables that are going to be healthy for me. But when I see a lot of these people eating carnivore, they eat the same steak every day. And I'm like, okay, that can't be great. You have to have variety of food, because that's where a lot of the different vitamins and minerals come from. Mm-hmm. And supplement. I believe in supplements, because if your body doesn't need it, it'll pee it out. And if you do need it, you got it.
So you do believe in supplements?
I do. I think they're fantastic. In the winter, I take 1 extra vitamin C every day, just because I feel it is healthy. Vitamin C, by the way, also helps to thin the blood. So that is kind of my aspirin. It also helps your immune system. vitamin C. I'm a big vitamin C girl. And again, you can't have enough. If I am feeling like down or feel like I'm good, I have 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every morning, noon, and night, 3 times a day. So 3,000.
But you don't take it every day.
No, no, no. Just like aspirin, I would never recommend aspirin every day because it's too strong. Vitamin C can be very strong. So, and not only that, if you spoil your body and have it, you can have it every day. It's just that I would mix it up. Like, okay, one day I'm going to have this whole vitamin C, and then the next day I'm just going to have a multi women's vitamin that only has, you know, 100 milligrams of vitamin C instead of 1,000. Right. And that is good for your body. You know, it's good to do. That's why I love intermittent fasting, because it's not always 16 or 18 hours. Sometimes I do 12 hours. Sometimes I do 14 hours. Sometimes I do 20 hours. I mean, it just depends. And that's very good for my body, because my body is like, oh, wow, okay, we got to, you know, really pull all the food from the liver. So I'm detoxing my liver when I'm intermittent fasting. It's
so
very,
which leads to my next question. If you have fatty liver, is there, or I guess, how do you detox your liver? Is it just by?
The best way is intermittent fasting. But if you, I have had a lot of people like, well, I'm a diabetic and my doctor says, there's no way, do not do intermittent fasting. I'm like, no problem. You know, I can teach you how to do it and we will get there. But let's start with just having eggs and avocado for breakfast then. You can't have your quesadillas for breakfast. You can't have your enchiladas. You can't have your muffins and your bagels and, you know, all of that stuff. No breads, just protein and fat and fiber. Avocado has a lot of fiber. Mm-hmm. So have that in the morning. Just the other day, I woke up, I had a very light dinner and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm hungry already. And I feel like I need oil, because oil, again, my skin in the winter feels more dry because it is drier and it's been very windy. And I don't like that feeling. And I know, like, oh my God, I'm putting on a lot of lotion. Okay, something's going on. I need to feed my body more oils. So I do. I start having more avocado. I put more olive oil in my salad or even on my vegetables. Even if they're cooked, I can add on the olive oil. I always, if I go to a restaurant and it's Italian, I always order a salad and a soup usually, and I add olive oil to both. Wow. And it already probably has it, but it doesn't matter. It's not, it doesn't harm your body. It helps your body. I have not gained any weight from all of that. And I think part of it is because I give my liver a break. I detox my liver. I do like to drink alcohol. I do it on the weekends. And I try to detox during the week so that it gives my body a break. And by doing those things, it's like exercising, right? You're giving your body this work. Like, okay, we're going to work because she's drinking. So we're going to work a lot right now. And then it's like, oh, she's not drinking. Okay, we are going to detox now. Or she's not eating. Oh, great. Okay, we're going to have time to get rid of all this bad stuff. Yeah. So it really does help to trick your body into doing things that are healthy, going for a walk. And like I said, doing those weights while you watch a show. Great. You know, or while you're at work, I keep a weight at my office just to pick it up and start doing some triceps or biceps or whatever, because I didn't have time. I had a busy day. So that always, wherever you are, try to just keep those things in mind, because by doing and contracting your muscle, I'm also releasing serotonin. Mm-hmm. Serotonin is also a hormone that increases your mood. So a lot of people go, oh, why is everybody smiling when they get out of the gym? We're all like, oh, stressed out going to the gym. But when people leave the gym, they're all smiling.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're like, I want to do this more, you know,
it's the serotonin and the endorphins. Those hormones only get released with exercise. So it's so good to have exercise of some kind. Now, I know it's only 20%, 80% is your diet. You want to really focus on your diet. It's more important to have a good diet, but I can tell I have helped many clients, and when they're doing the system, they can move very quickly and they can start losing weight. And when they see that, and it's just not a couple pounds, like a lot of times it's a lot of weight, they're like, oh my gosh, this really works. They get incentivized. They're like, I have energy now. I'm going to do more. I'm going to get up more. And that is what's going to get them healthy.
I love it. I love it. Again, Mary Jo, tell everybody how they can work with you, how they can get your product. And I hope that we're going to have you back on again, because I just,
this is fun.
This is so much fun.
The best way and the easiest way is go to my website, nursemaryjo.com. It's very easy. There's an order now button. Don't be afraid that you press that button. It has a lot of information and it tells you how to order. If you want to order, it tells you, it has a lot of information about the product under learn more. And also on my website, I have a lot of videos. I have that I've done some interviews of people that have been on the program and how well they've done. I had a diabetic get off all her diabetic medications. I had a guy who had a stroke 2 years prior and was on 4 different medications for his heart disease and is off all of his medication and lost 70 pounds. So a lot of good stories, but more importantly is you get me like your concierge nurse. So if you want to, I can be available to you. If you're ordering product and you need more help and want tips, I'm here for you.
Love it. Thank you again for being here. And this truly is the brighter side of life and business, because again, your health is your wealth.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Take care.
What a great show. And I hope that if you missed any part of our show, definitely download our podcast, because there's so much great information. Again, I always end our show with a moment of happiness. And of course, be sure you put your feet in the right place and stand firm. That's what life's all about. So believe in yourself. Have a great rest of your weekend. And again, I'll talk to you next week.